I don't know about you, but I just love being in the presence of the Lord with God's people seeking His face. Amen. And this morning, it was almost like there was just a little added want to in the people, because I know that God is always willing. You know, God is always going to be here. But I think you people, something Serena says all the time, you people. Anyway, I think the people of the church today, whether they felt their need for God a little more or just felt like seeking Him a little more, how many of you know that that makes a difference? Amen. Amen. And so because of that, I really felt the presence of the Lord. There's nothing like it. Amen. Wouldn't you agree? Amen. Amen. This morning, we're going to talk about answering the call of God in our own personal life, all right? How many of you know that you have a call on your life that is just as real as the call that's on my life, anybody's call who is called into full-time ministry, full-time vocational ministry? You have a call also. It's no less important. Come on. Amen. It's not smaller. It's very important. Amen. See, there is no such thing as sitting on the sidelines and serving the Savior. There's not. I haven't found a scripture yet that tells me I can do that. So the message this morning is entitled Qualifying the Unqualified, okay? Qualifying the Unqualified. So if you could stand with me, take your Bible, and we're going to declare what we believe about the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Are you ready?
Amen.
All right. Say it with me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I'll boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, let's go. Amen. Let's go. You can be seated. You can be seated. If you're like many or most Christians, you kind of see yourself as weak or unable or not good enough or not sanctified enough or maybe not saved long enough to be used in any capacity by God. You just look at yourself as just, you're not worth that much. But more often than not, that's the reason that the most of us, we like to give that excuse, all right? We like to give that excuse for not getting involved in ministry and for not being a part of the ministries that are offered at the church where we attend. Now, don't get me wrong, please. Don't get me wrong. You know, this is not in any way, you know, aiming at anybody that is not involved. I mean, some people have a very good reason for not doing ministry. But if you fall into that most of us category, then you probably should start searching for a different reason to sit it out, okay? You need to look for something else. Because the truth is, God has been calling the unqualified and the unskilled, all right, and the unready people from the beginning of time. Very few of the people who God has called have been what we would call the cream of the crop, so to speak, according to the flesh or according to the world. God seems to have this habit, all right, of choosing people who are unqualified in the eyes of the world when He needs someone or a group of someones to do a job. Amen?
Amen.
So the excuse, well, I haven't been saved long. I just can't. I don't know what to do. You know what? God will qualify you.
Amen.
If He calls you, He's going to qualify you. And I think I'll just pray for the message this morning. And I'm going to include in that a couple of people who are sick. So please agree with me. Heavenly Father, thank You for this day. I thank You for Your presence today. I pray that You would just anoint me to give this message to the people. I pray, first of all, for favor in Your eyes and then favor in the people's eyes. Lord, we know that You are a healer, and God, we pray that You would touch Gary Timmer this morning. I pray that as quickly as this sickness came upon him, that it would go from him, God. And I pray also for Sheila, who serves so many people. I pray, God, that You would touch her and that she also would be just amazed at how quickly this has gone away. Lord, it's not your will that we're sick, and God, you don't show us things by making us sick. And Lord, I know that it's your will that we would all be in health and prosper. So God, I pray that for Gary and for Sheila and for anybody else that couldn't get here today because of sickness, God. I just pray that you would just touch their lives, their hearts, their spirits, God, and their flesh, Lord. And I pray that in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. Please turn with me to 1 Corinthians 27. And we will read through verse 29. First Corinthians chapter 1, verses 27 through 29. I like Bible pages turning, the sound of them turning. Are you ready? But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. Why? That no flesh should glory in his presence. It's a good scripture. When you and I read the Bible, you know, we really quickly find out that God has a habit of using common people to build his kingdom. He doesn't primarily choose from the famous movie stars or the royalty or nobility of the world to fulfill his plans and purposes on the earth. That may be the world's criteria to qualify, but it surely isn't God's criteria to qualify. And how many of you are happy with that? Amen? Amen. Amen. You know, Isaiah 55:8 says this, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Isaiah lets us know that in no uncertain terms, that God views things very differently than we do. So it should really be no surprise that God wouldn't use the world's criteria to choose people that he could use to grow his kingdom. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. For example, when God chose Samuel to lead the nation of Israel, Samuel was just a young, unknown, unpopular kid. And when God looked for someone to kill a giant and lead a nation, he chose a young shepherd boy named David, one of the most unlikely, unqualified individuals that there was. When the fullness of time came, and it was time to send his son into this earth, okay? God chose a young girl named Mary to give birth to the Savior of the world. When it came time for Jesus to choose his disciples, he didn't go to the theological institutes or the seminaries of the day. You're awake, that's good to know. Instead of doing that, Jesus chose disciples who knew more about fishing and net mending and tax collecting than they knew about the scriptures. And when God looked for someone to write the majority of the New Testament, he grabbed this man named Saul, who was once one of the meanest Christian killers of all time. We know him as the Apostle Paul. But not only that, okay, his thinking just isn't our thinking here. God has always shown up in places where he really wasn't expected, all right? Just look at the location where Jesus was born, in a lowly shepherd's stall. That doesn't make any sense. That makes no sense at all. I mean, that certainly wasn't the place anyone would have expected the King of Kings or the Lord of Lords to be born. I mean, wouldn't it have been better for the King of Kings to be born in a gold-gilded hall with trumpets blasting to announce his birth? I mean, isn't that just wise? But that's worldly wisdom. That's not heavenly wisdom. And again, God knows what he's doing. And his thoughts are not our thoughts, nor his ways our ways. So, if you have ever thought that you had sinned too much, come on, or you weren't good enough, nor qualified enough for God to use, it's time for you to think again. Like it says in Ephesians 4:23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You know, that's what the Christian life is all about. things just aren't as we thought they were, amen? And we continue to learn that, and we continue to have that need in our lives to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. God is looking for people that nobody else wants. I'm sorry. Or maybe I should say that nobody else notices. And you're probably wondering, why would he do that? Why would he do that? Why not ask the qualified? I mean, the popular. I mean, it just seems so much simpler. But remember what it says in 1 Corinthians 1:29. It says this, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Let me tell you something. When great victories are won through ordinary people, there's no question to us as to who should receive the glory. Amen? Come on. I guess I'm just going to say this. Please don't discount the possibility that God may be pointing his finger at you today. He might be pointing at you. He might be just, you know, getting your attention. He may be calling you to do some things that you never thought that you would do. I never thought I would preach. I didn't like the idea of preaching. In fact, the first time I preached, I was petrified. It sounded like it, too, because I preached out of Esther. Pam, you were there for that. You were. I'm sorry. But the very things that you think would and should disqualify you may actually be the things that qualify you. Because God qualifies the unqualified, and he equips the unequipped. Now just think about it for a minute. Just think about it. If it were up to you, would you have selected Samuel? Come on. He might have been tall, but that's all he was. Would you have selected David, this fair-skinned young kid, to kill a giant? Or would you have chosen Mary, this 14-year-old girl, to have Jesus? Or would you have chosen this religious jerk like Paul or Saul, whichever one you want to call him? Because he was a jerk. Yet these are the kind of people that God chose to use in mighty and powerful and in some ways eternal ways. They may have been flawed people like you and I, but they had hearts that qualified them, because that's where God looks when he qualifies the unqualified. He looks on the heart. And if a person has the right heart in God's eyes, then that person is qualified to be used in God's eyes. Remember what it says in 1 Samuel 6:7. And this applies to you and you and you and you. This applies to everybody. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. The Lord looks at the heart. And the Old Testament and New Testament are just filled with illustrations of people who God wanted, but the world rejected. You know why? Because God's choice isn't based on beauty or ugliness. Ours is. God's choice isn't based on talent or lack of talent. Ours is. God's choice isn't based on education or a lack of education, or on a diploma or a lack of a diploma. That's our criteria. If a person has the right heart toward God, that person is qualified to be used by God. How many of you here know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Then you've got the right heart towards God, right there. Because when Jesus comes in, when the Holy Spirit comes in, he changes you. Amen? I thank God that he changed me. You should be happy he changed me, all right? No scripture teaches this principle more clearly than 1 Corinthians 26 through 28 that we read already. I'm going to read it again, though. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. To really comprehend the full impact of what Paul is trying to tell us, we have to dig a little bit deeper into the words of this of this verse. Check and just check and see as you're listening if maybe you might fall into any of these categories, because it's possible. As Paul writes his list of those who God does and doesn't call, he begins by stating that God doesn't call many who are considered wise by the world. The word wise is from the Greek word sophos. Okay, sophos. This word refers to a person who possesses special enlightenment or special insight. This word was usually used to portray highly educated people, such as scientists or philosophers or doctors and teachers and others who were considered to be the super intelligent of the world, the geniuses. These people belong to a class of individuals that the world would call clever and astute and smart and intellectually brilliant. This term was reserved only for those who were considered to be super impressive and definitely a cut above the rest of society. But Paul says this. He says, "For you see your calling, brethren." That's you. "But you see your calling, brethren." I can't see your calling. Your spouse can't see your calling. You can see your calling. Okay? "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh." Paul informs us that most of the people who God calls won't fit into this category. They're not going to be the super brilliant people. Seems strange to me, but it would be foolish also to overlook the fact that over the many years of that we see in the Bible, there's been many intelligent men and women. I mean, that doesn't necessarily disqualify them, that have made a great impact on the world. They're out there. Even Paul himself was part of this elite group before he came to Christ. And Apollos, who was Paul's friend, and who later pastored the church at Corinth, also came from this intellectual upper echelon of society. That's why they think that he wrote Hebrews, because it's written in such an intellectual way. But Paul and Apollos were not typical of the first century church. It was the sophos who scorned and ridiculed Paul when he preached in Athens. It was the sophos, the philosophers of Athens, the Epicureans and the Stoics, that mocked Paul and made him a laughingstock among the people. Let's just take a closer look at the early church, and you'll see that it was primarily composed of servants and slaves and the poor people who heard the good news of the gospel and believed it. You know, I don't know what it is. If you even look at it today, very smart, educated people can be very difficult to be one to the Lord, because it doesn't always make total, complete sense. There's somewhere where faith has to be involved. And it's hard for those who are intellectually big, strong, to make that leap of faith. They believed it. And that's the difference. They believed it. It was an army of normal, common people whose hearts were changed and given over to God. And if you take a close look at the church today, you'll see that God himself is still specializing in calling unqualified people. I was not qualified. Absolutely not qualified. I did not go to seminary, okay? I did not go to Bible college, per se. I did go to Bible college, but it was a, what did they call it back then? Correspondence. Yeah, that was before we could do it online, all right? Yeah, I'm that old. But please understand something. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with getting an education. I mean, I believe that people should get as much education as they possibly can. I truly believe that. But a school-issued piece of paper, you know, just isn't the criteria that impresses God and gets his attention. A heart that's after him. Someone who prays, someone who seeks his face, someone who does what he says, someone who spends time in his word because they want to, is what gets his attention. There have been many educated people that God, he just couldn't use. Because even though they were brilliant according to the flesh, they weren't worthy of being chosen to do God's work. Why? Because their hearts just weren't right. In fact, when God does call people who are intellectually impressive, like Moses or Apollos or Paul, he usually has to empty them of themselves before he can use them for himself. Yes. Why do they need to be emptied? Why does anybody have to be emptied of themselves? The problem is this, is that we have a tendency to lean on our own understanding, our own experience, the things that have happened to us. And when we lean on our own understanding, what happens? We don't lean on God. But when we are emptied, all right, when we are emptied or when we are broken per se, it's then that we can get filled with God, okay? It's then that we can get filled with his wisdom. It's then that we realize that we need him and not ourselves to get through this, amen? Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not onto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." There is no doubt, all right? There is no doubt that natural knowledge and worldly understanding is something that's needed in the world that we live in, amen? But if our understanding becomes the basis for our confidence rather than our trust in God, then it becomes a disadvantage to us. Our advantage of education becomes a disadvantage to our serving God. David wrote this in Psalm 20, verse 7. "Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God." Why did I put that in there? Because the best technology at David's time was used to develop chariots. Man's greatest intellectual powers were employed to make chariots that were faster and stronger and safer for the people that used them. In addition, horses represented natural power and natural strength and might. So what David was really saying was this, okay? Some trust in man's mind and his great achievements. Others rely on their own natural power and might, but we will rely upon the name of the Lord. I don't know about you this morning. I'm going to rely and I'm going to remember the name of the Lord. Amen? That's one of the greatest things I want to make sure that I do. I mean, maybe you're one of those people who claim this: God can't use me because I don't have enough gifts, and I don't have enough talent, or I haven't been to college, I don't even have a college degree, neither do I. I am ordained, okay? It's time for you to start seeing yourself like God sees you. Amen? Amen? It's time for you to start seeing yourself the way that God sees you. In fact, if you feel inferior to others, just remember that God regularly calls unskilled and uneducated people. So you're in good company. Amen? Amen? Like the majority of the apostles, Jesus handpicked to serve, all right, at his side and to lay the foundation of the church, just like them, okay? Understand this, those apostles, those people, those men were fishermen. They were lousy tax collectors, okay? They were just common people. They were sinners. They were sinners. They were not theologians. They were not scripturally astute. They were not people that sought God every day of their life. They weren't the Pharisees. They weren't the Sadducees. But they were exactly what God was looking for. See, and God is looking today to build a strong and powerful army. And the truth is, he's looking for people who know how and that are willing to pay the price. And I can only say it like this: those that are rich, those that are real smart, they really don't understand a lot about paying the price. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I mean, a lot of us have undergone hardships. Right?
Right.
Amen. And to confront the powers of hell and to dig trenches and carry burdens is something that we've already done until our assignment is complete. I mean, we will push and we will push. No one else is going to do it for us. We know that no one else is going to do it for us. So we do it with the help of God. We push and we push and we push because we know that we have to push. Do you understand what I'm trying to say here? Nothing has been handed to me, and I'm sure that nothing has been handed to you on a silver platter.
Right.
One guy one time, after church, I had preached at a place. He walked up to me and said, "I know you." And I looked at him. You know, I didn't know him. He goes, "Yeah, I know you. You're the guy that had everything handed to you. You've been given everything that you have, you know." And I said, "Well, I guess you don't know me," because that certainly isn't true. And it's not true. But there's something about being a person that hasn't had everything handed to them. Hello? They know how to get through. They know how to push. They understand the necessity of pushing with all they have. And so regular, everyday people are God's first choice. Say first choice. Because they're already equipped to a certain degree to face the challenges and the difficulties of life that God might have in front of them. Amen? I can only explain it like this. These everyday people, okay, they have been in the valley and they have been on the mountaintop. Amen? They've been both places. They know what it's like to win and they know what it's like to fail. Come on. Come on. Regular everyday people have fallen down and they know what it's like to have to get back up. So this morning, if you think that you are unqualified to serve God in ministry, congratulations, because God qualifies the unqualified. And he's looking for hearts that are willing to yield and follow him. And you have to know this morning, if you have that kind of heart, then you're exactly the kind of person God wants to use. Now, I'm not saying that because we're having a greeters meeting, training meeting, after church today. Did you know, and do you realize, that you will never reach your full potential until you say absolutely yes to God? If God is calling you into the ministry, the vocational ministry, the full-time ministry, then you can fight all you want, but you're going to have a life that's full of not only fighting, but a life that's full of disappointment, because you'd never quite get to the place that God wants you, because you know what? You're just not qualified. It doesn't matter, because God qualifies the unqualified. Well, I don't know. I think God's calling me to be a deacon, but I, you know, maybe not. If he's calling you to be a deacon, then tell the pastor and realize that if you aren't qualified in some ways, God will qualify you. Do you understand what I'm saying? But I think what I really want you to hear this morning is this, is that God is calling you to something you will never be fulfilled until you answer that calling. And that calling, something about that God does, is if he calls you to something, he don't call you to anything else until you fulfill that first thing. Amen? So what kind of a heart do you have this morning? I'm not saying you've got a bad heart if you're not involved. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that there are good reasons, okay? But if God is calling you to something, don't buy the lie. Don't buy the lie that says you're no good or that you can't do it or that, oh my. You know, I don't think I ever would have preached the first sermon if I would have bought that lie. Although then, I didn't really think I'd be preaching. I just thought I was told to do it because the pastor needed somebody to preach. What I'm saying, if God's calling, answer. Amen? If God is calling, answer. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. It doesn't matter if you're hurting physically. It doesn't matter if you're the peak of physical fitness. It doesn't matter. Because God will take whatever you don't have and give you what you do need. All right? All right. I've got a declaration for us to make this morning. A little shorter message for you this morning, but I think it's an important message. So if you would stand with me, and we're going to make a declaration. Why are we going to make a declaration? Because I don't remember exactly what the statistic is, but just I'll just say it like this. More of what you declare with your voice will happen than if you don't declare. Do you understand what I'm saying? And we declare these things because we want them to be true in our lives, right? And therein, do you understand the positive confession of God's word that we have to have in our life? You know, maybe we are, you know, maybe we really don't think that we're the person that God's looking for. Well, today in the declaration, you're going to say, I am the person God's looking for. Amen? Why? Because you want it to be that way. And it is that way. Come on, people. Come on, people. Say amen. Amen. Do something. All right. So repeat after me, please. Not with me. After me. I declare. I'm just the kind of person that God is looking for. I declare. I may not be among the world's super elite. But I am exactly what God wants.
I declare.
I will lean on His understanding.
I will lean on His understanding.
And not on my own understanding.
I declare.
I am a servant of God.
I am ready to do His bidding.
And I am ready to receive His wisdom.
And I declare this in Jesus' name.
And everybody shouted,
amen.
Amen. And amen. 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 The truth is, God wants to use you. I remember when I was growing up in the Lord, I was 28 when I got saved a couple years ago. All right, 10 years ago. And I remember thinking, and I think I even said it to Serena, I wish I was older. I wish I was older because then I could be a pastoral care guy, and that's what I wanted to do. But it wasn't my age that kept me from being what I wanted to be. It was my not saying yes and then pursuing it. Amen? And then I answered the call to be a pastor. Some people told me that was crazy. And maybe it was, but it's been the best crazy I've ever had. So don't be afraid of what God has in store for you, because it is better than you even think. Amen? Amen. Let's sing with Pastor Josh.